This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
All right, Denton. Big one tomorrow at noon on Fox. Ohio State, Penn State. Who do you got?
Yeah, this is the biggest one of the weekend, certainly. This one is fascinating to me. Right now, Ohio State, Kevin, is a three-point favorite on the road against Penn State. This one's being played at noon for television purposes. If not, it would have been a whiteout game at night, which I think we got robbed of a little bit, but it's fine. Ohio State did not look good last week against Nebraska. I think they should have lost that game if Dylan Raiola was just a little more accurate on certain throws, but I do think there's going to be a significant bounce back offensively for Ohio State against Penn State. I think Ryan Day is under the more pressure of the two coaches right now. This would be Ohio State's second loss if they do fall to Penn State. And then at that point, they're not in the driver's seat, either A, for the Big Ten championship, and then B, for the college football playoff. Now, a two-loss Ohio State team still gets in more likely than not, but you then at least...
You think so?
I would think so. With 12, yeah, a two-loss Ohio State team gets in.
I mean, especially if it ends up being two losses to two undefeated teams.
Right, because you would also, at that point, you would have beaten Indiana. But because Indiana is good this season, like this game is more pressure. Because if you are now a two-loss team going into Indiana, whether you believe in the Hoosiers or not, like there's just an added amount of pressure. And then you get Michigan in there as well at some point. You don't get to play in a championship game. Like there's a lot to this if you're Ohio State. So Ryan Day has to come in. He has to go on the road. He has to beat Penn State. I do think Ohio State wins this one. I don't know what the status is of Drew Aller, a quarterback for Penn State. I thought the backup, Prebola, came in and looked really good. But it's a different beast when it's Ohio State. You want Drew
Aller
in there.
What happens if Penn State, Oregon, and Indiana all go undefeated? Who's in the Big Ten title game?
I believe it would. I don't know what that tiebreaker would look like. It would probably look something in the direction of strength of conference schedule, which you have to get into the nitty gritty of who ends up.
It's probably a common games thing.
I mean, it might be common games, which Ohio State would be a common game for everybody, as would Michigan.
I thought you said something that was interesting, that this is a higher pressure game for Ryan Day than it is for James Franklin.
Definitely.
I think I agree with you on that, but I would not have agreed with you had they beaten Oregon. Because I think Ryan Day needs to get to the playoff and have a chance to win a national championship, and a loss to Penn State obviously would be, you know, hurtful. James Franklin never wins these games, Denton. Penn State fans have had it with James Franklin and losing these games. This is a big spot for him, too. I understand that they can lose and still end up being in a playoff, you know, by running the table against, you know, I think they play Maryland and, you know, they do have a game at Minnesota. And they could be a one-loss team. They could potentially even play in a Big Ten title game, although that they probably get eliminated from that with a loss to Ohio State unless... Because then the Indiana-Ohio State winner ends up being the team that plays Oregon. But Franklin needs to win one of these games.
He does, but the difference in why I say there's more pressure on Ryan Day is because Penn State right now is unbeaten. So, yes, the fan base is livid, I'm sure, that he never beats Ohio State. But if you're a one-loss team, still get to the college football playoff, yeah, you'll be frustrated, but hey, we're in the college football playoff, and if we win a college football playoff game, you can kind of look back at that Ohio State thing and say, yeah, it stinks that we lost to them, but if we win in the playoff, you know, what's it really to you? We're advancing, we're making progress here, to where if Ryan Day loses, he will have now lost two games in the early portion of November. I mean, when was the last time an Ohio State team lost two games by early November?
Yeah.
And then you have Indiana and Michigan. Like, that schedule for Ohio State is significantly more difficult. On top of that, while Ryan Day didn't ask for this, you had Urban Meyer, you had Jim Tressel this offseason saying this is the most talented team that Ohio State's ever had. So there's pressure from guys that are supposed to have your back. They add pressure, and then there'd be pressure from everybody else on the outside of your program because you would have two losses. So I think Ryan Day is under the most amount of pressure between the two, but certainly James Franklin needs to win one of these games.
You've got an issue with Penn State, a quarterback, too. Drew Aller, you know, is I think, being called a game-time decision. I think, Bo Prabula played well last week, and I thought that was a hostile environment, and I thought he played and looked really, really good. I had Wisconsin that night, so it hurt a little bit, but Ohio State did not run the football very well against Nebraska. They're banged up along the offensive line. This is going to be great theater. You know, I actually don't mind the noon kick for this. I think it provides something else. The intensity of a game that early in the day. And Fox will tell you that's their biggest window anyway. I don't have a pick in this game. I think I'd lean Ohio State because I just trust Ryan Day. I trust Will Howard. I trust their ability to potentially, you know, just be a little bit more athletic and a little bit more explosive. But and I don't trust Franklin. So I'll pick Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State is my pick in this one as well. Maybe not to cover the number, but I do think Ohio State wins.
All right, what else?
All right, we got time for one more game here because we got to get to our guest coming up here. This is going to shock you, the direction I'm going to go here, but Pitt-SMU might be the game outside of Ohio State and Penn State that I'm looking forward to the most. SMU 7-1, they're ranked 20th. Pitt is unbeaten, and they rank 18 right now. They're 7-0. I've been so focused on the possibility of Clemson and Miami in that collision course in the ACC championship that I have completely disregarded these two teams. Both are still very much alive. If Pitt gets this win and then they play Clemson coming up here shortly, they could steal a spot in the ACC championship game and then potentially the college football playoff as well. So this is a big one, 8 p.m. ACC network in Dallas.
Yeah, this is nothing, you know, speaks to ACC big game football than SMU and Pitt, and we finally get that matchup. I've already given out SMU. They're a big favorite. They've done such a good job. Rhett Lashley's done a phenomenal job after replacing Sonny Dykes. SMU's the real deal offensively. Holstein got, I think, banged up, so he doesn't come into this one 100%. Love Narduzzi as well. This will be a fun game, but I think SMU wins big in Dallas, and Pitt is no longer an undefeated team.
All right, real quickly before we go here.
Did you want to pick it?
I like Pitt in this one.
Okay.
Dan Quinn said Cornelius Lucas is out on Sunday, but Frankie Louvu and Cleland Farrell, good to go.
All right, that's good news. That Brandon Coleman hopefully will be good to go and start at left tackle. He's played well. All right, we'll go up to New York, get an update on the Giants next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.